You're listening to The Sound Atlas by Russell Brooks.
But what you really want to do to get that good shotgun last, that big blast to come out, you know, you just kind of let it relax and then just pinch and bam, you know, it's all over the place and it's a good time.
I am here with Frank, and he's basically this known as Frank. How are you, sir?
I'm a tad bit bloated and insecure, but other than that, I'm doing okay today. Hi there. Hey, you know.
That's good. And Frank, let me ask you, first question, where were you born?
I'm really weird about disclosing that kind of information. You know, I followed the Snowden thing a lot, and I'm pretty sure that I got some, people follow me, you know. But I don't mind too much. I guess you could say that I'm basically from Vermont. It's a nice place, you know, but I've traveled around the world and I've seen a lot of things, you know. I like to think of myself as, multicultural. Yeah. You know,
but you feel there are people following you?
Well, you know, I like to think of it more of as a fan club, you know, but pretty sure they are. You go most places and anytime somebody makes, you know, eye contact with me, I know they're watching, especially, when I shower, it's, one of those things, you know, when I get out now, I just fully clothe. Even if I'm wet, I just put the clothes on, you know, I keep the blinds shut and, basically I keep a well-armed arsenal on me at all times. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you're really, really prepared for these people watching you.
Well, yeah, you know, you never know when the government may come and try to take your weapons, you know, so, but, you know, my weapons are basically, I've got a wiffle bat, a grapefruit spoon is going to be great to, you know, click, get them right in the eyeball.
A grapefruit spoon.
Yeah, a grapefruit spoon.
And what is that?
Well, you know, yeah. You use it to eat the grapefruits, but it's, I was sitting there thinking one day, eating my grapefruit, and I looked at those serrated edges, and I thought, you know, wow, if some fucker really pushes me, you know, I just stick it right there in the corner of their eye, and pop right out there, you know?
Yeah, like a melon baller kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a pretty good idea. I wanted to patent it, but some dumb fuck already patented grapefruit spoons, so he didn't want it used as a weapon.
So you're not comfortable telling me where you were actually born, but how
I'm
did you
I'm a drifter, man. Yeah, you know, nomad.
You're not mad?
No, I'm not mad, but I am a nomad.
So how did you wind up in Bowling Green?
Well, I was a big fan of the band Cage the Elephant, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I was a big fan of their music. And I knew the bassist, you know, the tall guy, Titch, you know. I've known him for a long time. We were both big members of the Wham fan club online. And he said, hey, Frank, I'd like to meet you in person. And I said, Oh, wow. Okay. So I joined them up and, we had a good time. You know, we partied and, we watched a lot of movies and then all of a sudden they were like, hey, Frank, you want to be like, you know, an extra percussion guy.
And I said, how old were you then?
I don't like to disclose that information.
Okay.
I take the fifth. Yeah.
I understand. So
I'm an enigma.
You meet Daniel Tischner.
Yeah,
from
yeah.
The
good
band
guy.
Cage the Elephant.
Very
and
tall.
You're living
very
in
tall.
Bowling Green.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you're playing, what do you play?
Well, it was, you know, a wide variety of things. The washboard. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'd play the spoons. And then other times I would just do interpretive dance.
Right.
And you know, that's an instrument all of itself. You know, the body gets to moving and grooving and you see the eye contacts with people and they may look scared, but you're instilling that fear into their heart. And, you know, they never forget that. It's the same thing as love.
Right. So you're bringing something different than the band is bringing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
You're
something way more tangible. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they
the fifth element. So
I am the fifth element. You know, you call me Jobabitch. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good movie. Yeah, I liked it.
It is a good movie.
It is a good movie. I like sci-fi.
So why do you think you start doing that and you're playing the washboard, you're playing all this, I have to classify it, I guess, auxiliary.
Well, that's one way to put it. Yeah, that's
You're also true. Dancing.
Oh, yeah. I got love to groove. I always say I got pudding in my pants. I got to dance.
Right. So this all sounds great, but at what point did, I guess I have to, you know, you may not want to talk about it, but at did everything end with you and Cage?
Well, you know, I've got this this thing that I've been doing since I was a kid, and I call it protecting, or some people may call it stalking or watching. Mm-hmm. I really don't see a problem with it because I think I'm kind of like a, you know, documentarian. Mm-hmm. But I just use my eyeballs, and then I tell people the story. You know, I don't need any fancy camera or
what do you mean you just use your eyeballs? So like, did you tell somebody something that maybe you weren't supposed to?
Oh, no, nothing terrible like that. What I would do was, while they'd be asleep in the bunks, you know,
right,
I would just, you know, open the curtain enough, you know, and just enough to where I could see their face and maybe some flesh on other parts of their bodies. And then I would just kind of kneel down and just gently breathe through my mouth. Because, you know, if my nose gets congested easily, that's why I have such a fucking stupid voice. And I would just sit there and watch them sleep. And, well, the jackass tour manager one day, you know, I was really hot in my bunk, and I had just basically stripped down to you know, my tidy whities, and these ones were the more of like the I guess like the jackstrap kind, so a little awkward looking, but you know, I'm in my bunk, who's gonna see that,
right?
But I got the urge, you know, I said I need to check on Matthew. You know, he's the lead singer, he's the star of the band, he's very important component to everything, and he's a beautiful man. So I thought I better get down there and check on him, make sure he's sleeping okay. So I hunched down, yeah, and I, you know, hunched down. And when you're hunched like that, you get kind of sweaty. And so I was sweating, and my breathing got a little heavier. And all of a sudden, this asshole, you know, that's what he was, his tour manager. And he said, "Hey, what are you doing there, Frank?" And I looked around, and, you know, of course, I'm sweaty. I got the jockstrap on. I said, "Hey, I wasn't stalking him. I was just watching him sleep."
And that's so the tour manager caught you doing that, and they said, "You can't play with us anymore."
Well, they gave me a warning, and then
that was the warning.
Yes, and then
strike one.
I actually had about 7 or 8 strikes, basically because I basically found out where the tour manager's family lived, and I sent this psychotic nutcase over there, basically to watch him. You ever seen Breaking Bad where they do that with the laser pointers, where Walt does that? I'll have him skin like deers, and he'll wear their face like a mask and do a little cookie dance. Well, that scared the bejesus out of that guy.
Yeah, well, that's very scary.
Well, you know, I was just bluffing. Well, you kind of. I did have a guy there, but I wasn't going to.
Did they know that, though?
Well, no. I know it. You got to get what you want in this business. It's cutthroat, mister.
Right.
So I want to do my squatting. I have every right to. And those are my friends, and I was just making sure they were okay. Well, the last time I was caught, though, just to keep it short and simple, I was doing the same thing as last, you know, going from bunk to bunk. And what happened was I was checking in on Brad, you know, just making sure he was okay.
The guitar player.
Yeah. You know, Brad, great guy. Love him like a brother. Well, the problem is I basically, I just went all over the back of his leg, and he woke up, and long story short,
he was asleep when you did this.
Oh, yeah. You know, you can't do that while you're awake. That's just weird. You know, you got to do it while they're asleep. That's the only really, like, you know, if you're going to be a gentleman about it, wait till they're asleep. You know, I don't think that, I think he would have been a little bit mad, or maybe not as mad, but he was asleep and he was quite angry. So, you know, I ended up at a bus stop in Kansas in nothing but a G-string jockstrap and still a raging hard-on because I was squatting to hide from the hooligans that were around. It was it was a humbling experience, to say the most. Yeah. It was. But
I can imagine why they were mad.
I'm still a big fan of it, though. I'm still a big fan of their
music. Yeah, you're still a big fan?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm not allowed to go to the shows anymore. But, well, you know, it's basically we're trying to work out some legal stuff. You know, the band's cool about it, you know, but I like to watch from way far off in the distance, you know, squat down real good in the bushes. And, you know, that way I can enjoy myself and nobody's going to judge me.
So, like, if it's indoors, like, say if they play at an arena, then you just... You wait outside.
Well,
you're in, like, some shrubbery, and you're
I like to get down in the shrubs, you know. And I like to wear loose clothes, you know, so that way the, you know, my man parts don't get all smushed up. I like to be free. And I tell you what, when they play, what's that one song I like so much? Oh, yeah, it's Cigarette Daydreams. Uh-huh. Oh, I tell you what, I get excited just thinking about it.
So,
do you mind if I squat real quick? No, never mind. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I'm not sure that is fine. Let me ask you, what... So you played with Cage the Elephant.
Oh, yeah.
You had a breakup with that band, let's put it that way. What have you done since then in the local Bowling Green music scene?
Well, you know, I ended up in Bowling Green, you know, from Kansas. Mm-hmm. I hitched a ride with the truck driver, and after exchanging some favors with the man, he said, I said, where's a good place to drop me off? And so he just threw me off the bus in Bowling Green. So I just thought, okay, I saw this little place, you know, I was sitting outside and I heard music, you know, and I had the G-string jock strap on, you know, and by this time I had, my nipples were black and blue from the, you know, the stuff with the truck driver. But here I am standing.
Wait a minute, hold on. Wait. I'm sorry to interrupt, but why were your nipples black and blue?
Well, you know, getting back to what I said, exchanged favors, he...
never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I understand
it's
now.
It's probably better not to go that
you
way.
You get out of the truck.
Yeah, and black and blue nipples, G-string, yeah. You know, G-string jockstrap thing
exchange
on.
Exchange favors.
Yeah. Either way, you know, I see this little place, mm-hmm. and I'm walking around, and I'm looking around. It's a nice little town. And then I hear music, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And I look up, and the place is called Tid Balls. Yeah. And I'm like, this is meant for me, you know.
Okay, that's fine. So anyway, you see Tid Balls, and you get off the truck and you hear music coming from Tid Balls, and you say to yourself, this is a place for me.
All of a sudden, you know, I was really popular, but this one J-hole who was working the door, he just wouldn't let me in. He looked, he was like an old retired biker, you know, and he took one look at my nipples and he said, hey, you, purple nipples, we don't like your kind around here.
So an old retired biker.
But this night, though, he said, get your nipples worked out and go home. Well, I didn't have a home. So I found a nice dumpster behind, this studio downtown Bowling Green. I found a nice dumpster and I hung out there for a while. And then I learned pretty quickly that if you just get your hair real greasy, you know, and you get yourself, now that's what cost me the most were these cigarettes, American Spirit. So I just got the greasy hair and got a
pack
of them.
They cost more.
Yeah, they do. But I tell you what, they're the in thing, pal.
And they last longer, too.
Yeah, they sure do. I swear to God, you can, it's something else. It's a modern miracle breakthrough. But so I got the greasy hair. I got the American Spirits. I got the clothes that are too tight. And all of a sudden, you know, I started hanging out at the local coffee shop there. And all of a sudden, I was in the in crowd, man. They didn't care about my squatting, my mouth breathing, anything. You know, I realized then that I was home. You know, I could squat anywhere here, and nobody seems to mind. They're just always just Frank with his heart on, you know.
Right. And have you played in any other bands since you found it?
Oh, yeah. There's this one band called The Hungry Ears. And basically, I saw that they
had...
They're really good, you know. That
I didn't know you were a part of The Hungry Ears.
Well, it was very briefly. I really wasn't invited to play, but okay. I liked the fella with the Buzz Mohawk, you know. I thought, oh, hey, that
JD Minor. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Let me tell you something. He's no minor, but I tell you this though. I thought that's a guy that would easily, you know, squat down and play some Toe Jam and Earl with you, you know, till like 3 a.m. He's that kind of cool guy, you know.
Right.
So I asked him. I said, hey, I play a mean kazoo.
Yeah.
And he said, we don't need no fucking kazoo. And I said, what are you saying? You got a clarinet, you know. And that's basically, I don't know if you know this, but the clarinet was based off the kazoo.
Okay,
Well,
I guess I can see that.
All the fuckers did was add a few buttons, you know. And they got this real cute girl up there doing it. And I thought, you know what they need? They need a guy in a jock strap up there playing kazoo with them. Now that's fucking punk rock, baby. So they're playing at Tid Balls, and I make my way up to the stage. I get past Biker Man and I get up there with my kazoo and I'm dancing, doing my interpretive stuff. And all of a sudden, before I know it, you know, they're like, hey, get the fuck off the stage.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, the world's a stage, man. What do you want me to get off of it? I can't get off of it, man. I'm always on it. So then they just let me hang around the rest of the show.
So you told, I guess, the band and then Biker Man, hey, the world's a stage. And they're like, well, you're right. Can't kick
you off
for
that. Yeah, they digged it, man. They did, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, I also made some threats to their families, of course. You know.
Oh, okay. See,
you know,
that's
grapefruit spoon.
Really something that...
it's a hard business to break into. Sometimes you have to make sacrifices.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Although I have to say, though, I'm kind of... kind of surprised that, as you call him, Biker Man was susceptible to what you had done.
Well, I mean, you know, the Biker Man, I tell you this much, he's got a real tough, hard exterior, you know, but inside there I see a golden heart. I do. He's
a nice guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. He's one of the best, you know. I swear to God, I'd lay down of a bus for the guy. I really would. I'd jump on a bike without a seat and ride down a hill of speed bumps for that man. I really would. And I've never even really had much of a conversation, but man, I really admire his stature and figure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's nice. Oh, yeah.
He's a big guy.
Oh, yeah, you know. Oh, yeah. You know, I can see. I know, but you know.
He's attractive. I know he's attractive, but I just,
sweet Jesus God Almighty, he's like a, I just better stop myself because I'm going to want to squat, and I just don't need to do that.
I got you. So let me ask you, what is your favorite band of all time?
Oh, boy, howdy. I tell you, that is, you know, a lot of people are really surprised when I say this, but I would have to say that old Randy Travis had a big influence on me. You know, that man is he's just a goddamn musical genius. He really is. And, you know, he's had his hard times in the past.
Was it Digging Up Bones?
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna love you forever.
That one didn't
leave
my Walkman forever, you know. And,
right.
I was always hoping him and Wynonna, you know, they would end up forever. But
Wynonna Judd.
Yeah, man, don't get me started on that one. Oh, the jugs on that Judd. Oh, I tell you, boy.
Daddy's
howdy.
Hands, am I right?
Oh, yeah, I tell you what. Screw Reba, I'm going for Wynonna.
Right. If you could go back and tell young Frank something like, Frank, you're doing this wrong, you should have done it this way, what would you tell young Frank?
Squat more.
It seems like that's what's caused more problems than anything.
Well, you know,
squatting.
But look, there's a great book that I've gone to many a time. It's called The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. And it says...
Khalil Gibran's The Prophet.
Yeah, it's a good
book.
And
that's on Amazon?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon and go to your local bookstore.
Just in case people want to check it out.
Oh, yeah, it's a good page turner.
And what's it called again?
The Prophet.
By whom?
By Khalil Gibran. It's man, I tell you what, and it says from our deepest sorrow comes our most beautiful joy, right?
Right.
And from the most beautiful joy comes our deepest of sorrow. Well, buddy, if that isn't the definition of Frank squatting, I don't know what is. Because I ain't gonna stop squatting. You know, and I know one day I'm gonna have the old knees replaced, and I'll tell them, they'll say, Why are you going through this for the third time? Because I've already had it done twice.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it's some people have yoga. Some people have religion, you know. But it's just me. I'm a squatter, you know. And I'm never going to stop squatting.
Right. Well, you have ginormous. I'm sorry to bring it up, but I'm sure you're probably somewhat proud of them. But your thighs are huge. You're like He-Man, toys.
Buddy, I tell you.
Your thighs are huge.
I can crush walnuts with them. I really can.
Yeah, well, you know, it's odd because, like, the upper half of your body is, you know, normal size, but lower half from all the squatting is just...
And I'm proud of it, but...
It's insanely
huge.
Well,
and you got to say, too, that, you know, in the 80s especially, I really had a big problem with the white powder. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know. And that's when jazzercise got real big, as I mentioned earlier. I went through a big jazzercise phase there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got to where I couldn't join any of the clubs anymore, you know, because they don't like you doing bumps off your kneecap while you're doing jazzercise. But if there's something else I could tell young Frank, I would tell him that, well... I don't know. I'd just tell him to keep squatting. That's what I'd do. You know, nothing prolific.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank Frank very much for coming in today.
Oh, yeah.
Frank,
you know.
Any last words for the people at home?
Well, give me just a second here. Let me think about this. Let me think about that. You know, you should really check out, I'm a big film buff, and everybody, I've been trying to tell people this for years. Go watch Deep Impact. It's a much better film than Armageddon.